listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't know about you, but it's getting harder and harder to keep Advent as a community of faith and even as a family. Christmas just keeps getting better and better at encroaching. Some Christians even believe strongly that we should just skip Advent, that it's no longer really relevant or useful, that we, with the rest of culture, ought to just get on with the 4-plus-week December celebration of Christmas and then be done, by the way, with all of it on December the 26th. I think we traumatized our own daughter some years ago when she was a preschooler. I wonder if you remember this, Katie. We were pulling down our Advent decorations, which is different from our Christmas decorations. They sort of come in two phases. The Advent decorations are coming down, and that always included our nativity scenes, our little nativity sets, and each of the kids had their own nativity set, and they could set it up however they wanted. Katie was setting up her nativity set, and then all of a sudden we hear this voice in the other room. Where's the baby? Where's the baby? Where's the baby? She starts losing it. Do you remember that? Where's the baby? I want the baby, she said. So, the explanation to this, see, one of our family traditions is that we don't put baby Jesus into the nativity scene until December the 24th. So we had already pulled Jesus out of it. Nobody was clapping then, that was true. In our house, she was very upset, very traumatized. That was tough. She wanted the baby. She wanted it now. We talked about all through Advent, we wait and we hope and we get ready and we get excited. We can't just have everything we want right when we want it. And we had some tears over that. But that's a discipline that I'm not really used to either, waiting. I mean, really, it's not really what we do, especially now. When we want what we want, we get it. When I want what I want, I get it for the most part. Nobody's going to dictate to me that I need to be patient and wait with hopeful expectation. We want Christmas to be here now in our culture, and so we take it as soon as we want it, sometimes as early as October. So, right off the bat today, all this Christmas stuff all around makes it really hard to hear the prophet's call. John the Baptist today, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, the voice of one pointing, it's almost as loud as a whisper, John the Baptist. With all these holiday things going on all around us, with all the Christmas carols and bells and parties and cookies and peppermint spice lattes and incessant advertising and shopping, and I'm just as much a part of it as anybody, it almost makes John the Baptist, who we try to hear today, seem really way out of place. Even though he's been a part of Christian December readings in church, actually since the Middle Ages, he kind of feels like a buzzkill. Talking all crazy, like someone unpleasant bursting into our festivities. How dare he? We want the baby! But patience is a virtue, friends in Christ. And John reminds us of that today, listening, hoping, expecting, even looking at ourselves and our unhealthy thoughts and our unhealthy patterns, not rushing to the angels and the shepherds and the baby in a manger just yet. I imagine the Sundays of Advent as hilltops. We have language in our texts and our prayers today about mountains. I'm just going to say hilltops. The Sundays of Advent are like little hilltops, like the gentle rolling hills of Virginia that we drove across last weekend. The rolling hills of Advent. And along that way, through those rolling hills at the tops, I think we meet these prophets. We see in our readings, Isaiah and Paul, and now John the Baptist, and they serve as guides on our Advent journey, calling us back slowing us down, pointing us to the stable that's down in the valley, still 16 days off in the distance. It reminds me of the difference between driving somewhere and flying, you know? When you drive, you watch the terrain change ever so slowly, especially when you drive long distances. We just got done driving to St. Louis. We saw the terrain change as we moved all the way to the Midwest just for a few days. When you walk, that's even more true. You just see things that you don't see. We as a faithful community, Bethlehem Lutheran Church, part of a greater family, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and even the wider Church of Jesus Christ on planet Earth, it's like we're traveling right now a little bit slower than the rest of the culture, who seems to have boarded the airplane and never looked back, or maybe even out the window, who never experienced the beautiful Advent Hill Country in which we find ourselves. And here's what we learn today in the hills, in the wilderness, that this God with us, this Emmanuel, this baby who arrives at Christmas, is not all peaches and lullabies. He's not all sweet little baby smell that we all love. This God come near is also a judge, an arbitrator. He will clear the threshing floor, separating the wheat from the chaff, John the Baptist tells us. Now that's an image that might not resonate for us suburbanites in 2019. Farmers know this. The wheat farmer knows this. The wheat farmer used to separate the good wheat from the chaff by forking it all, tossing it up into the wind, and the good stuff actually falls back down, and the chaff is what blows away. What an image. I had a little experience of this. I found some hay in the fellowship hall. I don't know why, but I just took it. And there's a manger out front, so I just thought, I'm going to put some hay in the manger. Well, it was pretty old, dried out hay, and as soon as I did it, there was a wind blowing, and I just got, you know, just hay all over myself. It's a funny scene, middle of the week. Got a little sense, though, of what that chaff is kind of like. This God with us is searching for substance. That in itself is good news. Fruit that's worthy of repentance. That's what God's looking for. In this day and age where there is so much chaff blowing around, so much cheapness, so much shallowness, so much emptiness, so much lightness, and I'm talking L-I-T-E, we don't even spell it right, so much deflection. I had a conversation with someone this week, my favorite professors and authors, actually, who had no time for chaff. Maybe that's a new saying. I have no time for chaff. She had no time for chaff. She just cuts right to the heart of the matter. Have you ever talked to people like this? No fluff, not even polite formalities. Just cuts right to it. She's kind of like John the Baptist, who talks about a God who looks and longs for substance, for sustenance, wholeness, quality, wheat, in other words. That's the image. Goes to the heart of it. And on this second Sunday of Advent, this is a chance for us to go there too, to slow down, value the journey. Don't race to the destination. Celebrate and honor the beautiful hills of Advent. Hear the prophet calling. Let the prophet's words marinate with you for a little bit. We'll get to Christmas eventually, I'm sure of it. But let the prophet's words soak and work on us. Today, again, we pause atop the hill with John the Baptist, out in the wilds, who teaches us and celebrates with us a God who separates out our own chaff from our own wheat, our own emptiness and shallowness. This is the thing. God in Christ Jesus forks that, forks us. God in Jesus Christ forks us and tosses us up into the air and lets the spirit, you know the other word for spirit? Wind. Lets the wind separate our stuff out. This is what happens in these days. And we fall back to the floor cleared out of our chaff, our extra stuff, our junk. Advent is a time of refining. It's a time of God's winnowing. The chaff, the text says, Christ will burn with unquenchable fire. Thank God. That's good news. For the wheat that we are is deep beauty, deep blessing. That's what comes back. After all that stuff is gotten out of the way, what we find is deep beauty, deep blessing. We'll hear that blessing again. Child of God, sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ. That's you. That's the wheat that comes back down. God's winnowing, in other words, turns us into saints. All of us. Blessed Christ followers. And God's winnowing is going to take some openness on our part too. I do have to admit that I love doing a little bit of cleaning and decluttering during Advent. Just separating out, getting rid of all the junk, all the dirt and grime, all the extra stuff, which is pretty countercultural in the season of getting more stuff and bringing more in. I do love this. It's a way for me to embody the season of Advent, kind of a taking stock, a clearing up, an emptying out, a making room. Making room is what we do in this time. How are you making room for Christ to arrive anew? How are we repenting? Metanoiaing. That's the Greek word is metanoia, which means a turnaround, a 180. How are we doing that in these days? How are we opening up, making space, allowing the Holy Spirit wind to do its winnowing on us? How are we waiting? Friends in Christ, this is how God speaks to us today. How Jesus invites us and how the Spirit moves in our midst. This is what John the Baptist proclaims. That we are made new, we are cleared of our sin and our brokenness, and from this sacred little hilltop, John points us down that bumpy road to a tiny town that this church is named after, and even a tinier stable in its manger where we will travel together in these holy weeks to meet again in the silence and the beauty of the night, this loving and judging wheat farmer God, born to a poor blue-collar family, who calls us to live justly, to bear fruits of kindness and holiness, who directs us to righteousness. That'll be a theme through our year of Matthew, directing us to righteousness. This is what Jesus does. And finally, separates out our sin and our brokenness, our chaff from our wheat, and who sends us, even now, into the valleys of death in this world, to be a flame of hope, to share this gospel, this good news with everyone. God is already with us, and still we wait in peace and expectation. Today we sit still on the hill with the prophet and marvel anew. For God is love come near, blooming and growing among us. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.
The Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.